You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church, located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Every Sunday I come here. Number one, I can't wait to be here because I love our church. I love you guys. And man, I just see God doing things. You know, isn't it cool to see God moving and God working and God, you know, we had a great first service and it's just good to be in the presence of the Lord, and it's good to assemble together. And I don't know about y'all, but I need this. I need to come together and sing and lift up the name of the Lord and in that way. And I'll tell you, it was thank you so much for honoring the pastors. And man, I will tell you that it is. Such a blessing to serve with these leaders, this staff that we have, and having Pastor Chad with us, and Pastor Chris, and Becca, and Brian, and there's more coming. I mean, it's just great to see and great to experience the unity that we have, and it's just a wonderful blessing. It really is, and not just with the staff, but also the leaders of this church. You know, Lee and Linda and First Service Claudia and Randy and Jerry, and I'm missing someone who was up here just a minute ago, but Bernice, you guys, that's your church board, that's your leadership team here that represents you, and man, I can't say enough good things about what God is doing, and much of what we do is because of you that respond, you that support, and you that give. And I don't want to go too far down a road or a tangent, but I want to celebrate a win with you guys, man. For 14 years, I have prayed for a recovery. I've just always had that bend, you know, hurting, dying, empty, lost people, and just trying to find a way to reach out to those that are in need of recovery. By the way, we all are in recovery, right on? We absolutely are. And Brother Fricky came, Don Fricky came, and his wife, Darlene, and they have felt called to spearhead and to start a core group. And Tuesday night, they had 25 people here for our shelter recovery groups. And that is just phenomenal, man. Kim Craycraft and, I mean, several others. And you know what's cool about the 25 that came? The 25 that came, 17 of those people, am I right, Don? 16 of those people were not from Shelter Community Church. Isn't that awesome? We are serving the purpose. This is what God is calling us to do in terms of creating more space and more opportunity for life change. And man, I am just, I can't say enough about that. And to see you guys just spring forward, God birthing things on you, the church, that's the way it should be. Early on. Some people say, well, Ryan, why don't you do this full time? Well, the reason I believe that it's so important to empower the church to lead is because God calls us, right? If you're going to be a follower of Christ, he calls us to be a part of the royal priesthood, which means we all have a responsibility to give back, to serve, to minister, to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and to lead people into that life-changing relationship. And we're seeing that happen, and it's amazing stuff. I could go on and on and on, but before I do, I'm going to run out of time. Sorry. But let me just say today, and what's cool is with the staff, God has given us this staff and all of these people, Chad and Chris and Brian and Becca, there's all these different bends, you know, all these different things. And what I'm finding is that God has given, he is leading the staff and God is surrounding like with me, with people that are better than me. Isn't that cool? I mean, it's the truth. Chris said to me this week, he's like, when you lead a staff meeting, it is utter confusion. That's what he said. And so now Chris is leading our staff meetings. I didn't take it personal. It's right. He's right. It is confusion, you know? And it's just not my natural bend, but it is Chris's. I give him that. But what I do find really ironic this morning is that today's message is on confusion. And for whatever reason, God has ordained me to share the message this morning, right? Man, give it up. Woo! Amen. Where's Chris at? He's somewhere around here. I thought I'd rub that in just a little bit. I don't know if it's a confusing message or what. But anyways, you guys can be the judge of this. We'll see how it goes. But I will say that today, the intention of the message and what I want to share today is very, very simple. It is so simple. It's probably one of the most simplest messages that I have that I've put together. And it's about, for whatever reason, it's about confusion. When I look around this world, folks, and I think you would agree with me, outside of the kingdom of God, we get out in the world and we turn on our TVs and we see all the stuff that's going on around the world. We see all the stuff that's going on in this election cycle. We see all the stuff that's going on with people that we know in our communities. I think that you would agree with me this morning that this world is filled with confusion. Right on? It is confusion. We are in some very confusing times. And I believe that that God has raised us up for such a time as this, believe it or not. And we are in the last of this Be Real prayer series. And just to be real with you, I'll tell you, I don't know that I have the answers for what's going on in this world. I would like to think I do, right? I would love to tell you how I'm going to vote, but I think that would just give you more confusion. You know, the truth is when I really get alone and when I really lean into the Lord, when I really press into what God, you know, God's truth and God's wisdom, I think that this world is extremely confusing and there's no amount of clarity that's going to be able to speak into this dark world. The only thing that we're going to find hope in is what we know to be true, and that's God's truth and God's word, right? And so today I want to just kind of try to make sense of some of this for us. Because the truth is, it's not just in the world that we deal with confusion. It's in our homes. I sense that there's a sense of confusion, or a spirit of confusion that has penetrated even some of us. Some of us are dealing with confusion. Some of us maybe that are listening on the Facebook live stream this morning, thanks to Brian Reinecke. Some of us that may be listening later on through a podcast or through the internet or whatever. And then some of us that are sitting here and even in the first service, those that responded. I think that all of us struggle at times trying to make sense of it all. All of us struggle at times with confusion. Confusion because of a breakup, something going on at home, a difficult place that you find yourself in. Maybe it's your work life. Or maybe it's a death, a loss. Or maybe it is the diagnosis of something that you've received or a friend that you know. And you're trying to make sense of all of this. And it just doesn't, it's just difficult to find answers. Difficult to find truth. And I've been guilty of always wanting to help people, you know, and in my good, the intentions not being bad, but just trying to help people, you know, find answers to some of the things that they're struggling with, or some of the things that they're going through, the things that it's just difficult trying to find, trying to make sense of it. And I've been guilty at times trying to help people find the answers, when truthfully, I believe that there are times when I don't know that there is an answer that we're going to get this side of heaven. And I don't say that to disappoint. I say that to be honest. What I found is the older I get, and I'm getting older, by the way, I'm quickly approaching, never mind. But the older I get, what I'm finding is the fewer answers that I really have. And I'll tell you, you know, when I am stuck or when I'm going through it, I know that I can always go back to Scripture. Scripture is the Word of God. And the Word of God, it is what it is. And for me, having been raised in the church, it's been easy just to try to give scriptural verses or give this and give that when, for me, you know, it helps me through maybe my confusion, but maybe it doesn't help others. I don't know. But I could tell you this, that for me, when I go back and look and look even at the very beginning, what I see is a very disorderly, very confusing time. In the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, you can go all the way back in the Bible and go all the way back to the very beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless. There was no form, and it was empty, and it was dark, and waters covered. It was a very confusing time. Confusion, just disorder, right? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And then he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, making that the first day. And there was order in all of that. And for me to think that God created the heavens and the earth, it helps me in some of the confusing times that I'm going through. But I found it not necessarily, and just hang with me, but it not necessarily helping other people. Because what does that have to do with where they are in a day-to-day life? And then it raises all kinds of other questions. People have questions about creation. I accept creation. I'm a seven-day creationist. I believe that. But some folks don't believe that. I mean, and that's okay. But I'm just saying that scripture verses in and of themselves, sometimes just quick answers in scripture does not give people all that they need. I've used the end of the book in Revelations. In Revelations 1, 17 through 18. In the very end, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And to think that I know where things are headed, and I believe that. I know that. I know that, and I try to share that. I've tried to share that kind of thing. But it's raised more confusion. Some people don't see the end times like I see the end times. Those of you that's been around the church for a long time, you know the end time discussions and debates and arguments. You know, and you've heard, are you a pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib? I mean, you get off onto these wild discussions, and then that book series, what was it, Left Behind series? I look at that Left Behind series, and sometimes I feel like I'm left behind. You see, me just giving scripture first and things that help me and seeing things in my worldview oftentimes does not help, and it creates more confusion. Here's my point. My point is that when we go hard and fast and trying to give answers, I think we can bring even more confusion to where people are. You hear what I'm saying? How does all this make sense? I mean, people are trying to make sense of this world, make sense of their life, make sense of their hurt and their pain. And what does it all have to do with where people are right now, fighting day to day through some very confusing, dark times? So I've shared some scripture at the beginning, and I've shared some scripture at the end. And this is what the Lord led me to do this morning in sorting through confusion. And I don't want to leave you hopeless. I want to give you some hope. And the hope that I found in dealing with confusion is right in the core of the scripture, right in the middle. The main idea, the middle, the midpoint. I've never found this before. I believe the Lord gave me this morning in talking about confusion. He gave me the substance. He gave me the gist. He gave me the bottom line. Keeping the main thing, the main thing. And so, right smack dab in the core, in the middle of the scripture, there is this chapter. This chapter. Now, when I'm dealing with confusion, I want to sort through it. Are you with me? I want to sort through it. I want to get to the essence of and the source of that confusion so I can hopefully, you know, get some clarity. And the Lord led me this week. He led me to this passage of Scripture, the core, the middle part of the Scripture, right smack dab in the middle chapter. And what I found about the middle chapter is this, is the middle chapter, I've got it marked here, the middle chapter of the Scripture is actually a prayer. And in this prayer, it's a prayer of confession, or a prayer of it's an outward flow of experience. And in this prayer, it's just expression out of experience that the writer had. And in this, what you'll find is that the writer, and we know that the writer, more than likely this writer was David, and David lived through some very confusing times. And what I appreciate about David is David's real with us. There's no put on with David. You've learned that in the last 6-7 weeks in different messages this summer that we've talked about David. David was who he was. And you see his life and you see his confusion. And it was incredibly raw and real. And David, I believe David, was instrumental in placing this passage. The Lord led him to place this passage right where he placed it. And he gave us this prayer and this expression out of his own experience with God. And I pray that this morning, in the midst of your confusion, this will be your experience. This is what it says in Psalms 117, 1 and 2. It says, praise the Lord, all ye nations. It says, praise the Lord, for his unfailing love for us is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord. And what I like about this, it is the shortest passage of Scripture, the shortest chapter in all of Scripture. Did you hear what I said? This is the shortest. The words are few here, folks. You get what I'm saying? The core of the Bible, this is the core. It's the midsection. It is the heart of the matter. The words are few, but powerful. His unfailing love for us is powerful, it says. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord. What it's talking about, what he's talking about, and what his experience is, and what the heart of the matter is, and what this word is, what this scripture is, it's all about the love of God. And when you begin in the midst of your confusion, and in the midst of chaos, and in the midst of turbulent times, right in the midst of your trouble and distress, when you begin to focus on the love of God, even though your struggle is there, and even though it's difficult to make sense of it all, when you focus on the love of God, there is a peace and a presence and a satisfaction that you get that gives you hope in moving forward, that gives you faith in pressing on. When you focus on the love of God, even though your situation may not be put together, you are put together. And your void is filled. The love of God, filled with unfailing love. That's what this passage is about. For praise the Lord for his unfailing love. Folks, God's love never fails. His love never fails. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with or what you're going through or how bad you've been. God's love never fails. It's unfailing. Do we really understand unfailing love? In Luke 15, 20, it's the prodigal son, and it's a parable that Jesus shares trying to describe, because it's hard for us to understand what unfailing love is. But Jesus is telling this story about a father, and his son did everything wrong, and his son was selfish, and his son went his own way, and the father waited on him. His love never failed. And finally, his son goes all the way down into the depths where some of us have been. And he finally realizes that he has to go home. And when he begins to go home, not knowing what God or how his father's going to respond to him, he begins to head home with his tail between his legs and his head hung low. And he begins to move back home. He's got what little he has left, and he's walking back. Hopefully, his father's going to accept him. And what he finds is that his father was there waiting all the time. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, and filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, he embraced his son, and he kissed his son. That is unfailing love. God's love does not fail. It was there in the beginning. It's there in the end. It's woven throughout all of Scripture. The love of God does not fail. And what we see and what we know is that God gave his one and only Son, because he loved us, and he loved this chaotic, confusing world so much. That he wanted to penetrate this world and bring clarity to this world. For the sake of time, look at faithful. God's love is faithful. Do we understand? Do we really understand faithfulness? Our experience with love, many of us with love, our experience with love in this world has been anything but faithful. And I think that we truly, even I don't think that we fully understand how faithful God's love is. His love will never fail you. Look at Psalm 105. Look at this real quick. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. In another passage, God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into the partnership with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Look at this. God's love is faithful, and it endures forever. It never gets tired. It always perseveres. It endures. The endurance of God's love is forever. It never quits. Do we really understand that? This love never stops. In 1 Chronicles, way back generations, centuries ago, in 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithfulness, love endures forever. Folks, this is the essence. This is what gets me through confusion. The love of God gets me through confusion and through chaos. And when I begin to press into that love, when I begin to press into that love, the love of God, I then realize that I don't have to figure it all out. I don't have to know the answers. Maybe you in your home life, maybe you right where you're at, you've got a spirit of confusion in your home. Maybe your relationship with your spouse is confused, is just, there's confusion. And here's what I would say. What I would say to you is, if you press in to the love of God, you lean into that love, you press into that love, and you begin to experience that love, he will begin to bring clarity in your home and in your life. It's the same with the church. The church situation in the, one of the very first churches, the Church of Corinth, when they started this new church, it wasn't long after they stopped keeping the main thing the main thing, right? They got lost and they began to go down these rabbit trails and begin to do these things. They were off mission and off purpose. And it wasn't long then they stopped focusing on the love of God. And it wasn't long then in 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 22, that a spirit of confusion came into their church. 11, 17 through 22. You can read it. You can read it at home. Verse 18, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. But of course, look, they talk about divisions. And when you meet together, you're not really interested in the Lord's Son. There was just confusion with that new church, that early church, because they stopped keeping the main thing the main thing. And here's what Paul did. Paul did something very, very interesting. Paul brought them back to communion. He brought them back to the love of God. Brought them back to the love of God to remember what Jesus had done for them.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.